So this came about after somebody asked me a shayla, but last week about recent political events with the pardons of the president. With regard to some of our own religious Jews. So I felt that the way to approach the question is to take a look at what Chazal say about an area that occurred in Tanakh, which really defines what the idea of Chilul Hashem is. It's an interesting Chazal. It starts off with Shmuel Beis Chaf Aleph. No base for half. Where you have an interesting account, strange story. It starts of Vayira b'mei David shalosh shonim shana acharei shana. Vayivakesh David es pnei Hashem.
There appears to be a receiver off hook. Please check wire extension, hang up, and then try your call again.
Okay. What do we do? All right, so it says, Vahirav made David Shalosh Shanim Shanach HaShana. So it was for 3 years consecutively there was a rav, a hunger. Vayvakesh David es pnei Hashem. Vayomer Hashem el shov v'al beis adomim al ha-shehem es ha-givonim. So they received through Nevuah the reason for the Rav. The reason for the Rav was, the Pasuk says, el shov v'al beis adomim al ha-shehem es ha-givonim. It's a funny Pasuk. El shov v'al beis adomim al ha-shehem es ha-givonim. Many problems over here. But what we're going to do is we'll take the Gemara, Chazal interpret it in Yevamos, Tafayin Ches on the base. But the basic story is that the Melech called the Givonim and he asked them what they want, and they said basically they're not going to take any kind of monetary compensation. But what they want is the lives of the Jews that are the descendants of Shaul, and they wanted to take their lives and to hang them and give us Shaul. So it says that David HaMelech gave them 7 people, and they hung them there for 6 months. They didn't allow them to bury them, and then they took them down. They buried them. That's the basic story. But you see, there's the Chazal go through the details in the Pesukim. So Gemara starts in Daf Ayin Ches on the Beis in Ha'orov in Yevamos. Gemara says like this. So it says there was a hunger in the land for 3 years consecutively. So it's interesting. Chazal say Rishono Amar Lahem, the first year David HaMelech said Shema Ovdei Avodas Kochovim Yesh Bachem V'chsiv Avadatem Olim Acherim V'shtachvisam Lahem V'otzar Sashamayim V'lo Yamota. So the first year he thought maybe the reason was because they're Ovdei Avodas Zara. Shniya, the second one, Amar Lahem Shema Ovrei Avera Yesh Bachem. Maybe there are Ovrei Avera means znus amongst you. Dechsiv Ayimonu Revivim Umalko Shlo Haya. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, because the pasuk was later than David HaMelech, but the Divrei Nevi'im are Dvarim and Mitim, so the Gemara, instead of just telling you what David HaMelech thought, it uses the pasuk. Shenema, v'yemanu revivim amalkosh lohaya umetzach isha zono hayaloch. Okay, and you had the arrogance of an isha zono. Means no shame. The end of the pasuk is that they didn't have any shame. So he checked that. He thought maybe that's the reason for the rav. But kuvlo matzo. So they searched. It wasn't true. Shlishis, the third yom alahem, shema poskates doka barabim yesh b'ham. Ve'enosnim. Maybe there are people that are big donors, and they make big pledges, and they don't keep their pledges. Tichsiv, nesiyim v'ruach v'geshem oyin, that nesiyim v'ruach, there's clouds and there's wind, v'geshem oyin, but there's no rain. Why ish mishalel b'matas sheker? Okay, because a person is mishalel, he's arrogant and haughty, and he makes a big announcement, he's going to give a lot of tzedakah, but it's a matas sheker, it's a lie. Okay, so therefore again, this is Shlomo Malach, this is Mishlei. But the pasuk is—he's using the pasuk, but in reality, it's the idea. The pesukim and neviim were given down from Sinai. They became Torah Shebichsav from Navi. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, but it really is the idea that David HaMelech, of course, knew the idea through his chachma and his knowledge of the Masorah. So Omayina David Talu Yela B. So then he said, the last thing he said was, I see these three things are not what's responsible, so it must be totally in me. Miyad ve'yavakesh David es p'nei Hashem. Mayhi amar shlakesh shol borim v'tum. Okay, how do you know? Amar lo asya p'nei. K'siv vach avakesh shol p'nei Hashem, k'siv vach asya shol mishpat tum v'tnei Hashem. Okay. So it's interesting. So what were the three? It's an interesting thing. You see, I mean, the Navi really teaches you ideas about, significant, important ideas about Klal Yisrael. So you see, when something bad happens, so, like the Rambam says, so we're mechuyev to investigate and see what the cause is. That's the first Rambam in Hilchos Tainis. So, what is the worst thing? The first thing that you look for, so the Navi says, is Avodah Zarah. Wrong ideas concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concerning God. That is the worst evil that can befall the people. That's the first thing. So that's why he checked that out first. So it turned out that wasn't the case. There was no Avodah Zarah. But then there's the second thing. The second thing that he checked was the area of Arias. The Gemara says in Brachos, the worst thing is about Azara, and the second worst thing is Arias. Because at Arias is where you have a free rein to the instinct. It's the instinctual part of man. That's the second worst type. So he checked out and he didn't find it. So this really, what was he looking for? He was looking to see if there's nus. It's an interesting thing, because you see there are certain averis that on a private level, may not be the worst thing, but in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, it is the worst thing. An interesting thing. There are two systems that the halacha really prescribes for us. One system and an individual. So, for instance, the Isser of Znus, if it's Derech Haroi, Derech Haroi is not, it was just happened one time, so he's not even Chayav Malkus. But of course, the Rambam mentions that on a personal level, it's a serious avera, because he's davak bi'akum, and psychologically he partakes of Avodah Zarah, but the chait per se, as a technical chait, doesn't seem that serious. The Rambam says al yehi avon zekal beinach. Okay, but that's on a personal level. But But apparently there's another dimension to the chait. On a personal level, it's the technical maisa is not the worst thing, but the personality is affected in the worst way. So the halacha doesn't get malchus, but it's a terrible thing. But that's on a personal level. But there's a second realm, that a second dimension to chait, and that's vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael as a group, insofar as its objective, its existence, as a group and as an entity, and its purpose for its existence. That's a different realm. That's a different kind. Most people are only concerned about the personal, the individual. But there's a second consideration, a major consideration, and that's insofar as our objective as an ummah, you see. And the Navi teaches you that when there is a catastrophe like a rov, so the rov signifies that it's not the individual and personal, but it's something is happening in terms of the whole objective and the existence of Klal Yisrael. That's why he checked first Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is not just a personal chait. Of course, on a personal level, individual level, it's the worst thing for the individual. But that's not the problem over here. The rov doesn't come because of individuals. The rov comes because of the group, the nation, the entity. The entity of Klal Yisrael. So, therefore, David HaMelech, it shows you, David HaMelech thought, he said, this must be something which is based upon the whole Kedushas Klal Yisrael is in trouble. So first he investigated the worst thing that can happen, because the objective of the Ummah is to proclaim the Yichud Hashem. So Avodah Zarah is the worst, so check that first. Second thing is that the looseness in terms of the sexual instinct, which, as I said before, technically in halacha doesn't come out to be very high on the scale, but you see that it's for the Klal Yisrael is the worst thing. It's the worst thing. Second worst thing. This is really in line with the Ramban's pshat, where it says in the pasuk. The pasuk supports it, because the pasuk says in Kiseitze, it says Lasiya Kadesha Mibnos Yisrael. Lo yia kodesh mibnei Yisrael. So it's really a lav. So it's a lav. The Tirgum learns a lav to have be with a shivcha. Yeah, but you see the way the Torah expresses it. The Torah doesn't express it as an ordinary lav of having be with a shivcha, but lo siya kadesh mibnos Yisrael. Lo yia kodesh mibnei Yisrael. The Ramban, as a matter of fact, wants to say that it's not just an expression to teach you that it's a horrible thing in Klal Yisrael, but really the Ramban, I think, agrees with the idea of the Ramban. But the Ramban says that the love is really a separate aloch on the Bezdin, that the Bezdin has to make sure that there aren't penuyos, there aren't prostitutes. That's what the Ramban learns the love. And there's no prostitution like among the other nations. So you see, it's halacha according to Ramban, it's halacha and Bezdin. Why? Because this is not simply, even though on an individual level, the Avera is not of the most serious Averas, even though, I mean, like I explained throughout, the Ram says, it's serious in a different way. Well, that's a separate thing in terms of Avodah Zarah. But the technical Avera itself is not, as an individual, is not the most serious, but for Klal Yisrael, it is horrible. It is the worst thing. Because it removes from Klal Yisrael its whole Kedusha, and its whole identity and objective. So the objective really is to proclaim the true Elokei Yisrael, and the free sexuality is the one thing that will undermine the whole giving free rein to the instincts undermines the entire purpose and objective.
Even
that's why, that's why Bill. So that's correct. They follow straight through. So that was the, I mean, that's what David HaMelech saw. That's what the Navi teaches you, that David HaMelech really knew how to analyze the situation. Sometimes you have to analyze the situation in terms of an individual. Sometimes it has to be analyzed in the framework of the Tzibor. Two different types of Averis and two different realms. But you have to know which realm is to use when. So the Navi's telling you that David HaMelech realized this is the realm of the Tzibor that's at stake. So it's either Avodah Zarah or else it's Arias. It's interesting. What's the last thing? Those are the two major. What is the last thing? The last thing is because of the postgate tzedakah. What is the postgate? What is the postgate tzedakah? I mean, this seems like a strange thing altogether. That's a guy made a big pledge and came time to live up to it. It was a little more difficult than he thought. I mean, why is that considered such a terrible thing in the Ummah? It's an interesting thing. I mean, that would seem to be an individual thing. See? Individual thing. Yeah, but apparently, you see, apparently that's not the case. Because one of the marks of Klal Yisrael, the distinctive mark of Klal Yisrael is that they give tzedakah. Lasos tzedakah mishpat. As Derech Hashem, lasos tzedakah mishpat. So tzedakah is not just a personal perfection, but it's also a kiyum in the entire Ummah. And that's the third thing. It's an interesting thing. So you see that David HaMelech, the Navi identifies the three things. Avodah Zarah is the worst, Arias the second, because it undermines the whole system, and the third is the distinctive mark of Klal Yisrael is that they're poskei tzedakah. Osa tzedakah is tzedakah mishpat, because Ani Hashem osa chesed tzedakah mishpat baretz, and that's Derech Hashem. So therefore, that was the third thing. So he said, the third thing is that they apparently the mark of perfection. The other two are negatives, but this is the positive. It's an amazing thing. So you see that these three things really summarizes the most distinctive mark of Klal Yisrael. Interesting thing. But it's interesting. Rashi and Mishlei says why does it work that way? Because it's midah keneged midah. Because what does the pasuk say? Nesiim v'ruach v'geshem oyin. Ish mishalal b'matas sheker. It means to say that you see the nesiim, you see the clouds and the wind, so it looks like it's going to rain. But v'geshem oyin. So that is midah keneged midah, because the people are poskei tzedakah and the aniyim are waiting for tzedakah, and then you disappoint them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is knowing midah keneged midah, and he gives an indication of the type of the same type of a situation. So it reminds the person of the chait, because he sees he needs the rain, he's waiting for the rain of the geshem oyin. So that is a siman that you are doing something of the same nature, something similar. So that was why that's why David HaMelech investigated that area, the area of tzedakah. Okay.
Really? Yeah.
That's correct. The chiser dal lindor lo yie b'chachet, but motzos vasecha tishma vasisa. That's right. That's a different kind of a chait. It's also a person is a different kind of a chait. It's very hard to, you know, I mean, I mention this all the time, but people want to know what's worse and what's better. It's hard to get away from that. But in general, the Torah really tries to point out what's different. Averas have different forms. And the same thing is true of mitzvahs. I mean, mitzvahs also, everybody wants this is worse, this is better. The human personality is very complex, and there are different kinds of imperfections. Not important to weigh them so much, which one's worse. More important is to understand how what the defect in the imperfection is. That's more important. So a person who doesn't get any tzedakah, that of course is a terrible defect. But there is another defect where the person refuses to accept the fact that he's not a Baal Tzedakah and fools himself into thinking he is a Baal Tzedakah, and because of his own self-deceit, what he does is he disappoints other people and he puts them in a state of pain where it would have been better if he wouldn't have done anything, because then at least they wouldn't be waiting for this. He said, so it's a different kind of a chet. I mean, who's worse, a person that doesn't give tzedakah at all, or a person that is posting tzedakah and doesn't give it? Yeah, there's no answer. It's two different types of chatoyim. In one case, the person is completely insensitive. I mean, of course, that's a serious defect. He's not concerned about anybody. He's not engaged in tzedakah at all. In the other case, he fools himself into thinking that he is a big baal tzedakah because he wants to satisfy his own feelings of self-worth, and because of that, he harms. He has a total disregard for the fact that this self-indulgence, the psychological self-indulgence, is causing a tremendous harm to other people because they're waiting and they're depending on you and you're not coming through. So the type of a very important, it's a different kind of imperfection. You can't really measure them and say, you know, which one's worse. Not a question of which one's worse. It's a different kind of a thing. So what David Melech said was that he knew that this kind of an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a simen for. The simen is nesiyim v'ruach, but the geshemayim. So that's why he investigated that. That area. That was the third thing. That was the 3 years. So then Chazal continued. So after that, he saw that none of these things existed. So the question was, what does he do now? He says, well, he checked that he had them investigate, and then he found it wasn't true. There weren't these defects among Klal Yisrael. So he said, Eina dovar toli ela bi. Miyad vayivakesh dovar es panei Hashem. Okay, so yeah. So what was this? What is this? What did he conclude based upon what he tried up to this point? What was his conclusion? His conclusion was simple: that a person is mechuyah first of all. And this is true. This is true. Like the Rambam says, the Maran Rucham says many times, and many things are true that the halacha, the Torah mentions, are true b'tzibur and b'yachid. You know, I mean. Most of the time, there's a correlation. So this is what he did here is something which was which is true b'tzibur and b'yachid. In other words, first the person is mechuyev to investigate insofar as they can in their own masim. You know what I mean? This is true of b'yachid too. They have to investigate yefashfesh b'masav, but it means to make an honest search. I mean, just like David HaMelech searched in Klal Yisrael. A yachid is mechuyev to search also. That's the same thing with tzibur b'yachid. So first you're supposed to search among the general perfections that the Torah teaches, you see. So what is Ram says, k'shem she'at tzibur mesanam al tzarasam kach ha'yachid mesan al tzarasam. The same thing, this tzibur and yachid is identical. So apparently that first you're supposed to search through the given ideas that we know from the Torah. And then, if the person, if you're not successful, so that's what it says, Eina dava toli ela bi. Meant to say that the only, you know, now what I have to do is to be mevakesh pnei Hashem, because I'm not going to figure out the answer. It's something that requires a turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's beyond the realm of my own ability to understand it. It's something that's hidden. It's not a generic principle. It's a specific. Something happened. So this is it. Eina davar toli ela bi. So if it's not these three, then it must be something specific. And I'm mechuyev to be shoel es pnei Hashem. So he has the Urim V'Tumim. Yes, the Urim V'Tumim. So I mean, how would a yachid? So what does a yachid do? What would the corresponding situation in the yachid? How would a yachid? What would a yachid? I mean, a Of course, if a person can be shown Pnei Hashem through Nevuah, he should do it. But Bizman Hazeh is not Nevuah, so what could he offer to do? Tefillah. That's the answer. Tefillah. Yeah. Tefillah is always available. So then the only thing a person can do is a yachid can do is to be mispalel. He finds himself in a situation and he checks through and bodek v'lo matzah. So the only recourse he has is to tefillah. Because tefillah is the tefillah is bizman hazeh for us is the only thing that we have, which is the closest channel to nevuah. So yeah. So at any rate, so what happened? So he went and he asked. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's interesting. It shows you that if these three things are in order, that there wouldn't be a Rav. It's an amazing thing. These three things are in order, there wouldn't be a Rav. So he knew the only thing is now I have to be Shel Pnei Hashem because it's an individual thing. So it's an interesting thing that those three things are the main things in clause. If that's in order, there wouldn't be a Rav. He knew that. Okay. Yeah, a lot of things one from another. So he says like this. So what was the answer? So the Yamar Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an answer. He said to him, El Shol Vel Beis Adamim. The reason for this is because of Shol and because of the Beis Adamim. Al Shehim is HaGivonim. So the Gemara says, El Shol, two things. Because it says, El Shol Vel Beis Adamim. So apparently there's two elements in the pasuk. So what does it say? El Shol Shalom Nispet Kalacha. That was one problem. Because Shol was not Nispet Kalacha. Apparently Klal Yisrael they could have been maspid him more appropriately, even though it does say that David HaMelech was maspid him. But apparently it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. That was a chait. It's buried improperly, but that wasn't completely in the hand. I mean, it's a little complicated. But whatever it is, I mean, the events, I can't... I mean, you have to really go through the events of Tanakh. It's not easy sometimes. But at any rate, I mean, the point was there was a neglect on the part of Klal Yisrael for the hesped of Shaul. It's an interesting thing. So that was one thing. That was one tfiyah, one claim against Klal Yisrael. And the next thing is, and Vel Beis Adonim Ala Shehim Is HaGivonim, because he killed the Givonim. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, V'chihecha Matzinu B'Shol Shehim Is HaGivonim, what do we find by Shol that he killed the Givonim? Doesn't mention anyway. So the Gemara says, Ela Mitoch Shehorag No V'Yira Kohanim, Shehu Maspikim Lohem Mayim U'mazon, Mal Olav Akosav Kilo Horgan. Amazing Chazal. Chazal say that because he killed Novir HaKohanim, and the job of the Givonim was that they would supply water and wood for the Mikdash, for the Ir HaKohanim, and they would get paid, they would get Muslim, they would get their Panasa that way. So that's the way they got their Panasa. So when Shaul killed the Novir HaKohanim, it came out that these Givonim didn't have a job anymore. Unemployed. So I mean, so that's the worst thing. That doesn't mention because he killed Novi Arkana. That's a separate parsha. Yeah, this strange Gemara doesn't mention that. That's the worst. Okay, so Agavocha. Now these people are unemployed. So I mean, who would even be concerned about that? I mean, the main thing is Novi Arkana was a terrible tragedy. So. Yeah, no, that's not what the answer was. The answer was, this is why this rav happened. Because you failed to take care of those people that became unemployed because of the fact that the Novi Arkana was destroyed. Amazing thing. Yeah. Yeah, Rashi says, Kohanamoy must pick my Muslim with Givonim, show you chot ve'etz me show him mayim lemezbeach. So yeah, so Rashi gives you a little bit of the answer. It makes it a little easier. Because Rashi, you see, the truth of the matter is that the Givonim were deceitful people. And that was the story in Yeshua Paraktes. They were deceitful, and they may believe they came from a distant country, and then because of that, Klal Yisrael was karas bris with them, on the false pretenses. But then later they found out that they were liars. So they said, "What are we going to do?" So they made them show of a mayim and chot ve'etzim. So apparently, I mean, at least one part of it was that they took away their parnasa after they guaranteed their parnasa. You see, because they made them show of a mayim and chot ve'etzim. But that was a promise that was an obligation on their part. You see, they were nishba in terms of Krisis Bris. But because even though Krisis Bris was false, but they made them show of a mayim and chot ve'etzim. But they had an agreement with them for their employment. It was an agreement. It was an agreement for their employment. Because ordinarily, you can't say that just because somebody comes unemployed. I mean, so why is that? What's the terrible? But Rashi explains partially. He gives you partial insight into it. In other words, namely the fact that there was an agreement of employment here, and since no Virakonim was destroyed, so everybody was very concerned about no Virakonim, but they forgot that there was still an agreement of employment that they had. You can't forget that just because no virakonim. See, it's an interesting thing. What was the other chet? The other chet was lo nispat kalacha. It's an interesting thing. So why was he lo nispat kalacha? I mean, see, it's a type. Really, the navi really is telling you a type of chet. A type of chet is caused by oversight. Oversight. In other words, you have a situation where there is a glaring element in the situation that preoccupies and draws the person's interest. So because of that, the person kind of, you know, he considers it like a mitigating element insofar as his other responsibilities. See, no Virakonim was destroyed. I'm supposed to worry about the employment of these people of the Givanim, you see? So it's a type of chet. And that's true by Yachid too, by Yachid as well. So the Navi teaches that that's not an excuse, that a person can become blinded by a certain tragedy. Tragedy may be overwhelming, but the fact is that's not an excuse to be for the person to overlook his responsibilities. You see, that he has. It's not an excuse because he has. There was an agreement of employment here, and you have to take care of that. You can't just be upset about no Virakonim and let that overshadow the other situation. That's not mishpat. That's not mishpat. Kol rachav mishpat means that insofar as we are able to, we have to also in every way. You can't just overlook it. And the same thing I believe was true with Shaul also, because Shaul was a character. He had problems. He was a leader, as Melech Yisrael. Unfortunately, he had psychological problems. That's an amazing thing. If you look at the insight of the Navi, that didn't have the Navi treated him. There's no record anywhere of people having such an insight into the human personality that they understood that he has an illness, and his illness is not the same thing as his evil. The mental illness doesn't allow a person to do evil, but you have to distinguish between what a person is capable of and what they're not capable of. So Shaul HaMelech, as much as he did horrible things, but the Navi kind of let him off, because, in a sense, I mean, to use a vague descriptive term, because of the fact that he had problems. He had basically what we would call paranoia. So he had touches, strong touches of paranoia. So because of his paranoia, so many things were, he wasn't considered an evil person. He was excused, so to speak. So he was excused. The things he did that were bad, but he wasn't judged based upon his deeds because of the fact that the Navi recognizes that he had psychological problems. Psychological problem is something that the difficult person doesn't have full bechira in that area. So the Navi exonerates him. But because of the fact that he was such a controversial figure, you see, because of what he did crazy things. And he did crazy things. So because of that, apparently, Klal Yisrael was negligent in being maspidim. You see, that was wrong. That was wrong. Again, a similar kind of a fate. You see, a similar kind of a fate. A fate where, because of the picture, you overlook the justice. But the picture was that Shaul, yeah, first he started out great, Ben Shana Shaul B'mocha, he was a tzadik gomor, but then he got involved with his jealousy, and then it became a disease already, an illness, a mental illness, and he did crazy things, and he was defeated in the end, he died in defeat. So Klal Yisrael wasn't, you know, he's not a figure that it's a big cover for us to go around being maspid. The controversial figure. I mean, it's not it wasn't really a heroic. He didn't have the stamp of a hero on him. But Hashem was Tovea his covenant, because he was really a tzaddik. And he was a great personality, even though he couldn't come through in deed because he had problems. But the fact is that Shaul really was the Meshuach Hashem, and he deserved, because of his godless, because of his greatness, he did deserve a tremendous hesped. And Klal Yisrael was negligent. So because of those two things, it's interesting, but there is a similarity in the two tfias. Because of those two tfias were the tfias that David HaMelech was able to find out through Nevuah, that was the chait of Klal Yisrael. One, they weren't concerned about the employment of the Givonim, and two, they overlooked the godless of Shaul HaMelech. He wasn't a heroic figure, didn't fit into the picture, so they weren't maspidim. They weren't maspidim kalacha. That was wrong, because they should have realized that his greatness and his perfection deserves to be nispot in a very great manner, and they didn't want to do it. It wasn't appealing emotionally. It went by their emotions, not by a really just analysis of who Shaul was. So Chazal say, interesting thing. So Chazal say, so the Gemara has a question. The Gemara says, Katova al Shaul shelo nispat kalacha v'katova al shehemis ha-givonim. Seems like a contradiction. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tovea the fact that they weren't maspim kalacha. On the other hand, he was tovea the fact that he killed the givonim, or he took away their employment, and that was it. So it's like two opposites, you see. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says in. That's exactly right. Dama Rish Lakish Maidich Siv Makshuas at Hashem Kol Anve Aretz Hashem Mishpato Pa'olo Basher Mishpato Shom Pa'olo B'makom Shedonin Ha'odom Shom Maskirim Po'ol Zikasa. Rashi says Shom Maskirim Po'ol Zikasa means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done differently than a Bas of Adam. Bas of Adam is done either somebody's favorable or they're not favorable. You know, they like them, the judge likes them, the judge doesn't like them. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't done that way. Ba'asher mishpato shampala. In his very judging of Shaul, where he did a chait, but at the same time, it doesn't cancel out his tzidkus and his greatness. And because of his greatness, he deserved to be nispat kalacha. So Klal Yisrael sinned doubly. Once they didn't correct they didn't undo what he did, which was wrong. And two, they weren't maspidim because of his greatness. See, it's an amazing thing. So what is the idea really, Bash? But it seems the pasuk is trying to tell you something a little deeper. You know what I mean? Like, Basher mishpato shom pa'alo. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'makom shedonin ha'odom shom maskirim po'al sekasa. What does it mean? In the very place that they don him, that they judge him, that's where their masker is sitkus. Why is it what's the emphasis? In the very place. In the very place. What's the concept in the very place? It means that the purpose of God's mishpat is not to defame the person or to make him into a hero. The purpose is absolute justice. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toveya from Sho'ol what he did wrong, he at the same time is Maskir Sitkis. Is Maskir Sitkis. So he shouldn't emerge as a person who because of his fate should cast a bad type of a shadow on his personality. Should cast a shadow on his personality. You see? That's what it means. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk is teaching you, the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that it's true he's done the person, but he doesn't allow that din. Ba'asher Mishpato, right then and there, he still maskets at Kosov. So you shouldn't walk away and think that, inshallah, he's an unfavorable type of a personality. Nope, that wouldn't be Mishpat. So the Mishpat demands that at the same time they maskir his greatness and his sitkis. So the purpose of the Mishpat is really just to teach the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochiach in order to be malameh the person, teach him ideas, not to set up heroes or villains. That's not the purpose of the so Ba'asher Mishpato Shampalo. That's he was maskir Mishpat, so he wouldn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let the Mishpat alone stay alone and be maskir his chusim at another time, because then already the personality is tainted. So exactly at the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was done him, that had to be at that same time he had to be Toveya to put a claim against the fact that there were maspid in Kalacha because of his greatness and his sickness. That's what Chazal are explaining over here. That's an important idea, because man by nature is always engaged in either setting up a hero or a villain. I mean that's the way human nature is. But you see, that's not Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And insofar as man can emulate Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to learn from that as well. That shouldn't be wrong. That even if a person does wrong, but to vilify him as an individual is absolutely false. Check it. So that's what the pasuk says. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time was Tevea both simultaneously. But now it's an interesting thing. So now David said like this. Omar David, Shol Nafkalu Treisa Yache Shata Velodache Lemispedei. So he says like this. He says it was already a long time. Rashi says it wasn't really 12 months. It was more. It was more like 3 years after this. So he said, so David HaMelech says, for that it's too late. Lodache Lemispedei. So he can't do anything about that. Interesting. Interesting thing. Shows you, I mean, that everything that David HaMelech did was with Chachma. He heard the criticism, and what's the next step? Next step is saying, oh, jump and try to correct it. No, he says it's too late. That we can't do anything about it, because it's not Darkei L'Mispedei, so that's gone. So the only thing we could do, so what we do, I mean, so we suffered the onish, and we have to be Chos B'Tshuva, and there's nothing more we could do. That's it. Sometimes that's all that can be done. But he says, what's the other claim, the other tefillah? The other tefillah was the Nesinim. So the Nesinim, he says, that we did a misdeed. We did an injustice with the Nesinim. So David HaMelech said, let's call them. Nikrinu v'nefaisinu. Let's call them and let's appease them. We'll ask them for mechila. Okay, that's a halacha that bein adam lachavero, you can ask the person if you wronged him, you can ask him for mechila. So let's call these nesinim and ask them for mechila. So it says vayikra malcha gevonim. So the Donoch called the gevonim yom aleim, and he said mo'es elachem uba mo'achaper who borchu es nachlas Hashem. What could I do for you, and what can we do for a kapora that we should have a kapora? You admitted to them, you know, that we wronged you, was wrong. We weren't concerned about you, and therefore, yes, them for mechila. What can we do? So, vayomer lo givonim. The givonim said, "Ein lanu kesef ezov mishol ben beso. Ein lanu ish." So they answered. They said, "We don't want any kind of appeasement, and we don't want even any kind of money. You can't. There's no compensation. We're not going to take any compensation." What do we want? Yitalonu shiva nashim mibonav or kanam ladashem. Says that we want nefashos. We want seven of his offspring. I want to hang him. So Mephias v'lo faisino. So it says, so the Gemara says that he tried to appease them, and he did everything he could. His Michael on his covered and covered his Malchus and covered Klal Yisrael, and he admitted the wrong deed and everything, and he begged them for mechila, but they wouldn't do it. So he said, Omar, I said, Shloshi Simonim Yesh Bumazu, Harachmonim, Vabaishanim, Vagomle Chasarim. Okay, so that the Gemara says that he said, Kol Shesh Bashosh Simonim Roll Dabik Bumazu. But if they don't have these, so therefore he asked the Gevonim. He said that, it's an interesting thing. On the one hand, amazing thing. On the one hand, the Navi told me, he had me pi Hashem, that these people have rights and have a claim. And their claim for nefashos is legitimate, and you have to answer it. Amazing thing. At the same time, he said, these people are not, we have to asser any type of relationship with these people. We can't allow chasnas among these people. He goes on them. And this is a chasnas. Why? Because they don't have the midah of Rachmanis. Rachmanim by Shana Gomel Chasarim. So apparently, even though he knew from Mipi Navi, he knew that they were right, but nevertheless, the fact that they weren't willing to be Mavir al Midoseihem, they weren't willing to be Mochel, had no Rachmanis at all, so he asked them. Interesting thing. Means it two different tracks. One track is what justice, and the other track is a different. They don't have. Nevertheless, if there's no Rachmanis, so these are not the kind of people that we could ever have among the Ummah. Any place to exer on them. Interesting thing. So then, what happened was like this. So Chazal says, it says, Vayika Hamelach Shnei Bnei Ritzpa Basayo Asheyoldo Lashol Asamoni Vesma Fiboshas Ves Hameshis Bnei Michal Bashol Asheyoldo Ladrio Ben Barzilai Hamachalasi. So he took these seven people. Okay. Five were from. Many times it says one of them was Mephibosheth. There's two Mephibosheths here. One was Mephibosheth ben Shaul, and the other one was Mephibosheth the son of Yonasan. So Ben Tam says the Mephibosheth ben Shaul was really David Melch's Rebbe, because Gemara says in Brachas that Mephibosheth was Rebbe. So Tais says Lama Lacholak Lo Kavod LaRabba LaVakishel of Rachman. Because what happened was the Gemara asks us what right did he have to give over these seven people? So it says that the Gemara says that Amar Avuna Haviram Lefnei Aron. So he passed them in front of the Aron. Kol She Aron Kol To Lemisa Kol She Ein Aron Kol To Lachaim. So the Aron apparently determined whether the person was going to die or live. Okay. So Kol She'ein Oren Kol To L'chaim. Masiv Rav Chana Bar Katina. So Rav Chana Bar Katina asked the question. It says, V'yachmol HaMelech Al Mephibosheth Ben Yohanason Ben Shaul. Ben Shaul, Ben Shaul. It says that he had Rachmanis on Yohanason's son because of the bris. Shelo Haviro. So the Gemara says, Shelo Haviro. So it says, V'chi Masa Ponim Yesh B'davar? So how could he do that? That's not just. Just because why should he? It's not just. So the Gemara says, "Ela shaviru v'kolto ubikesh lav rachman upolto." Interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that first he passed him through, and the Aaron determined that he should die, but he was mevakesh rachman on him, and he saved him. So the Gemara says, "Akati masa panim yesh b'dov." But it's still unjust. Why? Because once the Aaron determines, so it means to say that it's not, he's not using a just system, because in this case the Aaron is going to be and here too, in the other case, not. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that is Rachmanis for Mephibosheth was well, Shabikish Rachmanim Shaloyigul Tana Aron. That was okay. It was misfollowed that the Aron should not be called him, and the Aron wasn't called him. So that's how it worked. So of course, right. So the question is, how could they do that? I mean, how could they do such a thing? Right. So the Gemara seems to ask that question, but it's not really a question. The Gemara is like this. The Gemara says, "Vaksiv lo yimsu avos abanim." Right. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abchia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan mutif sheteoker os achas min haTorah val yischal shem shemayim b'farhesia." Okay, it's better to remove one os from the Torah. It's a big os. One os from the Torah. And you shouldn't be Mechal Shein Shemayim. It's an amazing thing. Because, yeah, but I want to explain something to you over here. See, the question is, there's two questions. One question is, how could they do it? You see, what's the answer? How could he do it? There's a straightforward answer. What's the answer? The real answer. What's it? What? The answer is a Navi has a right to, for Rosh Shah, a Navi has a right to abrogate the halachic system. It was Alpina Vua. Of course he wouldn't do it. Of course the Melech couldn't do such a thing. That the Givonim come, they're going to demand they want something. He's in power. He doesn't have to listen to these people, who are they? So the only reason he listened was by Vakesh Dovas Pnei Hashem. So it comes out that through Nevuah, that's what the Pasuk states openly. So was Alpi Nevuah. Alpi Nevuah, the Halacha is, we know, the Halacha is that a Navi has a right to abrogate on a momentary abrogation of the Halacha, a Navi has a right to do. Okay, except for Avodah Zarah, but other halachas has a right to the navi can be sent at this moment. You don't get this halacha. That's part of the halacha. It's part of the mitzvah of the Torah. Part of the system. So if that's the case, what's the Gemara's kasha then? So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, "Vaksiv lo yimsu avos abanim." Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mutav shetiakar osachas min haTorah val yitzchal shem shemayim b'farhesia. Okay. So what's the Gemara saying? Well, Yischal Shem Shemayim B'Farhesia. You see? So what's the Gemara's kasha now? It's Alpi Navi. So what's the question? William Silva Zabar? What's the answer? What's the answer? See, Rashi says, what is the Chil Shem Shemayim? It's an amazing thing. Yischal Shem Shemayim, he says, Sheyiyu ha'umos omrim, that the nations will say, Ein umazu ra'uyin lidabek ba. This is not really a nation that we should want to be a dabik with, have a close relationship with. Why? Sharei poshtu yedeyem begerim lito mizonoseyem v'lo asu ben nekama. Okay, because they never avenged the people who took away the employment of these gerim. Okay, that's the Chil Hashem. Amazing thing. That's the Chil Hashem. That's a terrible Chil Hashem that was responsible for David HaMelech to give over seven nefashos. Amazing thing. Okay, but getting back to the question, the reason that they did it was because Alpi Navi, you're allowed to do it. So what's the Gemara's question? Vaksiv lo yimsu avos abanim? What's the answer? What's the Gemara's question? No question, you're allowed to listen to Navi. The Gemara's question is that, there's two kinds of, there's a Chil Hashem because of an injustice, and that's a general Chil Hashem. Any kind of injustice is a Chil Hashem. That's just an intrinsic rule, because the Derech Ad Hashem is lasos tzedakah mishpat. Any kind of injustice, you don't have to check the chesh mishpat. It's if an injustice, that's it. It's Chil Hashem. So that's what Rashi says, that the umos ha'olam will say this was an injustice. They made an agreement to give these people employment, and they never took care of it. It was abrogated, and they never corrected it. Okay, that's the Chil Hashem. What? But the Gemara's question is, so what are you rectifying over here? So what are you accomplishing? So now you're going to kill these people, but now the Torah says, Layim Salvas Abanim. Layim Salvas Abanim. So people are going to say, they're going to say that they don't keep the halacha. They're going to say that your own system says, Layim Salvas Abanim. And now what are you doing? So what are you accomplishing over here? You see, what are you accomplishing? That's the Gemara's kasha. Gemara's kasha is not how did they do it. Gemara says, "Vaksiv lo yimsu avos abanim." What is this? Because they did it. Because Navi, the Urim V'Tumim said to do it. So Alpi Navi, you're allowed to do it. You have to do it. You have to. Not allowed. You have to. So what? So. But the Gemara's question was, but nevertheless, what about the pasuk in the Torah? It says, "Lo yimsu avos abanim." People will see that you're that you're over that pasuk. It's an interesting thing, and that pasuk is based on justice too. It's an interesting thing. So what does the Chazal say? Mutiv sheti akir osachas min haTorah val yischal shem shemayim b'farasi. It's an amazing thing. It shows you that the way that the Torah looks at Chil Hashem is totally in a sense of justice that the Umos HaOlam, an underlying sense of justice that strikes a chord in the Umos HaOlam. It's an interesting thing. In other words, that you have a choice here. We have to correct the Chil Hashem. So if you do nothing, that's one Chil Hashem. If you do something, so they're going to say, but you're going against your own system, lay yourself upon him. You see? So that's what the Gemara says. Nope, it's better that they should say that, Sheti Akar Osachas Min HaTorah, but ultimately there will be a removal of the Chil Hashem. It will not be a Chil Hashem. It will undo the Chil Hashem. Because the Umos HaOlam will say that this is a just people. They correct. They don't allow this to go without attending to it. It's an interesting thing. In other words, in the eyes of the Umos HaOlam, it will be that the Shem Shemayim is not Nitzchalel. An interesting thing. So therefore, it's better that we should do something, and everybody knows, Ida Pusik says, Lo Yumus Ovazim, and that's also a concept of justice, But the question is, which is more important? More important is that better that we should do something that breaks halacha with all the ramifications of it, but that the Umos HaOlam will have to say, this is a just nation, will not be Mechal Shem Shemayim. Because the objective of Klal Yisrael is, its whole essential objective is to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. It's an amazing thing. So the Navi, the only one that can determine, who can make such a determination? I mean, we could argue, you never come to a conclusion. But that's why the Urim V'Tumim was necessary, because that was the determination. That this will remove the Chil Shem Shemayim. The Navi, that's why he says, Vayivakesh David es Pnei Hashem. This is something a person, you can't make a judgment like that. You can sit and you can think, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. The Navi determined that this is the right thing to do, at that moment this is the right thing to do, and this will remove the Chil Hashem Shemayim. An amazing thing. Yep.
Ready?
Yeah.
But by Shaul, he said it was impossible to correct the by the head.
That's correct,
right?
Yeah.
So why can you say the same thing here?
No, that's good, they have to do something.
Right.
So apparently he held the Givonim, he says the Givonim are still here, this is a Chil Hashem, and they're still here, so one way to undo it is if they're Michael, or if they ask for some kind of compensation, so then we're free. If they ask for compensation, then we're free. Then it's not a Chil Shem Shemayim. They set the price. They said, whatever it is, whatever they set, that's an interesting thing too. You see that even though you could be involved in Chil Shem Shemayim, but there's a way out. If the other side is Mochel, and you come to an agreement with the other side, that undoes the Chil Shem Shemayim. But they wouldn't come to an agreement, so the Chil Shem Shemayim was still there, so then he saw that something now has to be done to Klal Yisrael in order to correct it. Of course, the Aron was collate, so the Aron really determined he can't just pick people out, you see. But he said, since the Givonim, it's a standing Chil Hashem, because as long as the Givonim are here, and they have a right of claim, so you have to respond. You can't just allow it. If it's Masha Avar, you can't Masha, but it's gone. But here it's an existing situation. The Chil Hashem is in existence, so it must be that we have a responsibility, we have a responsibility to undo it. So he tried to maneuver how to undo it. Yeah, he can't say it's too late. Either asking for nefashos and they're asking for nefashos, that's apparently, I mean, that's a possibility. But the only way, you can't just grab nefashos. So then you had to have a pinavua, the Aron was calling, the Aron determined. that this individual is Lamisa. Yeah. Oh, everybody, it's an interesting thing also.
Why are they happy?
There's a primary responsibility and a secondary responsibility. The primary responsibility and the guilt was for Shaul, because he really took away their employment. But the secondary responsibility was for Klal Yisrael, and now they should have corrected it. But the Givonim wanted blood, they wanted Shaul's family, because they were angry at him. Yeah, I'll tell you, there's two areas here. You're touching an important point, but you see, it's an important point in analysis as well. Like when you analyze a Navi or a Halacha, you have to separate out the two, if you have two different trends, you have to separate out those trends. In other words, one trend of thought is these individuals, and that's what everybody's tracking. Well, why do these people have to die? You know, no, nobody would want to be in such a position. Okay, so immediately you think, oh, you know, why do people die? That's one question. There are mafarshim that talk about that. They say that they were also involved, that it was they followed Poket Avos Abonim, when the Bonim Holkum Masav Asayim, and they also went and said, they're answered, that's a separate thing. See, that's a separate kind of a thing. What the Gemara is focusing on is not the individual and how they suffered that fate or why they suffered that fate. Obviously, if the Aron was collate and if the Navi said they were Chayav Misa, there's no question about it. But that's not the important thing here. See, the important thing in the Gemara is not the individual thing. The important thing is the Gemara is showing you how this whole thing came about, not because of individuals, but because of what Klal Yisrael is defined as in terms of what we're supposed to represent to the Umos Olam. That's the whole essence of the thing. Yeah, there are answers to it, some why this is bothering, as much as troubling as it is, that's not the focus of the Gemara. The Gemara's not focusing on that. That's not the Gemara's not concerned. That's a separate parsha. You know, why this Yachid died. You can't allow that to interfere with the essence of what the Navi is teaching you. The Navi is teaching you is what is the function of Klal Yisrael and what is the essence, and how far does Klal Yisrael have to go in order to make sure that they're fulfilling their responsibility to the Umos HaOlam. That's what the Navi is teaching. Why this individual? I don't know. It's a separate parsha. Radak talks about it. Yeah, because the That's an interesting thing. What the Gemara is saying is, you're right, it doesn't say anything about keeping mitzvahs or about MS. It just says about those three characteristics. It's an interesting thing. That Psiyadis recognizes that there's two things, and this is, I think, Rama mentions also. You see, there's the midos of the Amharets. There's a human perfection that precedes the perfection of the intellect in Chachma. And that is a certain basic character. So if the character is there, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everything available to the human being to be able to perfect himself. But there is such a thing as an intrinsically defective character which does not have potential insofar as perfection is concerned. Now, no one is ever totally excluded. I mean, that's because everybody has bechira on some plane, and it's always possible for a specific individual to overcome and to exercise bechira in a way which is always possible. But generally, in terms of Klal Yisrael, like, for instance, you see, Lo Sikachishim Ibnos Kanan. Why? What's wrong with Ibnos Kanan? Because Ibnos Kanan is, they were people that weren't capable. They were steeped in primitivism. And they weren't a kli. They weren't a bar hochi. They weren't a vehicle that could lend itself to perfection. So over here, that's what the Navi's telling you. That these people, if you don't have the midos, Rachmanis, that's what Ramban says, that the Torah always, as much as the Torah recognizes, ultimately Chachmah is everything, and that's the sole determinant, but the Torah in many mitzvahs tries to make a person be nota, to the tzad of the midas arachman, because most of the time that midah will put you in the right path in terms of perceiving the truth. So it's really the basis, the fundamental characteristics that are necessary. Rachmanim and Baishanim. The Gemara says, busha, a person having a sense of shame, without that element, the person is not mukhshar. He doesn't have the prerequisite for perfection, because the instinctual is very powerful, and you need to have the counter, you must have certain counter forces in order to put a person in a situation where chachma is able to work on them. But if a person, so busha is a big thing, that a person is baishanim, it means he's capable of being embarrassed. To be able to be embarrassed means that it puts him in a position where the truth can work. Otherwise, the instinctual is too overpowering, you see? And gomlech asarim, I mean, a person has to be able to, rachmanim is, a person can be rachmanim, not necessarily gomel chesed. It's two different things. Because rachman means, like for instance, if a person is merachim, it means he feels it can result in negative also. He's merachim, so he doesn't take revenge. He's merachim. But gomli chasadim means that he has to have the ability to really not care about his economically, in terms of he's willing to make an investment, the gmilas chasadim, personally, begufo, physically, to make an investment to help somebody. It doesn't bother him. He's a gomel chesed. He has that ability. He's a gomel chesed. He doesn't say, I wasted my time now. I shouldn't have done this chesed. It was a waste of time. I could have used my energy for myself. Gomel chesed is a further type of characteristic. So that's what David Malch said. These three characteristics, if they don't exist, then the group has to be removed from Klal Yisrael, because their chance of perfection is almost nil. So you must have a certain basic underlying type of perfection in the midos. That's really what it is. And Dov Melech isolated those three things. It's very, very much like the Ramban says. The Torah always favors midos arachman, even though it's an emotional, it's an emotion, but it's a good emotion. Because that, if that emotion is in a person and affects him and has a certain influence on him, on the whole, it'll bring him to the place of perfection, where perfection can be attained. See? Okay, of course, you can't always follow that emotion, but it's a good thing. It's a good state. That's a double offer. Okay. What? The next thing is interesting. Vatikach ritzpa basayas asak vatateo alatzur mitchilas ktsir ad nitach mayim aleim en ha-shamayim v'lanos na'of ha-shamayim l'nuach aleim yomam v'chayas asod al-layla. So what happened was that they let them hang there for 6 months. So the Gemara says, "Vaksiv lo sol in evlas ol eitz," and the pasuk says, the end of the pasuk, "Ki kilas elakim tolu," because Adam is tzelam elakim. It's an amazing thing. So even if you let him hang on overnight, so it's pagan kvod shemayim, because Adam is yitzir kapo shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But nevertheless. So it's a powerful question. The first one was a question of justice, and the second one was a question of Kvod Shemayim. Amar b'yachanim and Shemayim yotzadik mutav she'te'akar os achas minotar v'yizkadeh shem Shemayim. So this was a matter of apparently the fact that they gave them over, that removed the Chil Hashem. But to allow them to hang there, that wasn't necessary in order to remove the Chil Hashem. So why do they do it? Kiddush Hashem. Shall you over the Shavim Omrim Mativan Shel Elo Halalu B'nei Malachim Haim. These people are a royalty. Ma Asu Pashti Yadam Begir and Grurim. Okay? They did an injustice to these they weren't even citizens, they're strangers. If they don't even protect royalty, so you see how fair and just they are. They don't even royalty doesn't have any special treatment. So kal v'chomer that they won't protect an ordinary citizen against an outsider. Okay. Yisroelach is kama v'chama. Interesting. And if this is the way they treat the gerim, so then Yisroelach is kama v'chama. What's the kama v'chama? What's the kama v'chama? I mean, of course you treat your own better. What? So yeah, who cares about that though? So of course you're going to treat it. But it means to say like this. It means that if they treat the outsider that way, so you see, it's not because of an emotional tie, because the outsider doesn't have that advantage. So you see, it's pure justice. So then a Ben Yisrael is treated. Why is he treated? He certainly will be treated rightfully, because you appreciate his metaphysical role. That's the real reason. You see, because what is the problem? In other words, what's the problem among? Why is it hard? V'afto recha gemach. V'afto recha gemach doesn't mean you're next to the neighbor. It means every Jew. So why does it mean? It means that you have to have a metaphysical appreciation of his value. So you see, if with regard to a total stranger where there's no possible emotional identification, you see they're just. So now you see they have a really just system. So therefore, amongst themselves, where they know what their objective is as an Ummah, they certainly have an appreciation of what a Yisrael is. And that's a Kiddush Hashem. That the whole concept of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha is not a personal idea, but it's an idea based upon the metaphysical objective of Klal Yisrael. Okay, and that is the greatest Kiddush Hashem, to show that what the idea is. So, Miyad Nitos V'Lo Yisrael Me'a V'Chamishim Elef. So it says that the Klal Yisrael, they were added to Klal Yisrael 150,000. Yeah, Rashi says, that's the Gemara, Yeah, so apparently Gemara like this, that if they would have demanded, it's an interesting thing, if they would have demanded to hang them over there, you see, I don't know whether they did demand, didn't demand, it's not clear. But the point is that was certainly, once they were killed, then the Chilul Shem Shamayim was removed. You see, and if they were demanded to allow them time, we don't give in to Midas Achzorius. You see, we don't give in to Midas. That's Midas. Then we wouldn't do. So why did he do it? So that's what the Gemara says. He did it. That wasn't a part of justice, because that's just Achzorius. In other words, they just want to hang them there. Just Midas Achzorius. That we're not going to get into. If we know our piurim v'tumim, that we have to give over nefashis, and it's determined which nefashis, so then we have to do it. That's al pi nevuah. But if they're asking for something that's just vicious, that we're not going to comply with. That's the Gemara's question. L'asol nevlas aleitz. You see, that how could you comply with it? So the Gemara said, no, that was done for a separate reason altogether, because to show to be miskare shem shemayim, that people should walk by and say, look at the justice of this nation. All because the gerim, these low-class people, the lowest echelon, the lowest class of people that are strangers, because they were unjust to them, look what they did. They didn't even save the royalty, the B'nai Malach. That is the manifestation of Kiddush and Shemayim. The ultimate manifestation of justice, that there is not the slightest favoritism. Not the slightest favoritism, even with royalty. Unheard of type of situation. I mean, in today's modern world, unheard of. No pardons, no nothing, non-existent. Just pure justice. Even B'nai Malachim, no one is exempt, and no one is removed from the area of justice. An amazing thing. The injustice was done, they have to pay the price. It doesn't matter. There's no favoritism whatsoever. Amazing chazal. And that's the Kedushas Yisrael, and that's the Kiddush Yisrael. Because of that, it's mutav shetayakar osachas min haTorah. Even though Torah says lason of los alayetz, and it's a kikilos alakim tolui, it's pogei and kvot shemayim in a sense, but no, this is more important. This is more important. To show that in Klal Yisrael, justice is fine-tuned to perfection. That there isn't any kind of injustice, favoritism, or anything that clouds in any manner, the slightest manner, pure justice. That is Kiddush Hashem. That's the Gemara. See, the Gemara says correctly, because when you read the parak, you might think that they demanded to hang them up, and that's why we hung them up for 6 months. We don't just give in to anything. Everything we do is with Chachma. Chachma determined that you had to go according to Navi, and you had to give over the nefashis. Can't help it. That's the Xeris Hashem. But to hang them on a tree, that's not Machzarius. The answer is they did it because of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. No, you know, happy up here, people. Happy through the four. Happy through the four. You're right, because you couldn't do it. Otherwise, you can't mock our sachas. Yeah, otherwise, so. So the answer is, but the Navi, the Nevuah, it was through the four. But the Nevuah determined, what the Gemara is trying to show you is how the Nevuah weighed the situation. That's the amazing thing. They weighed the situation that better this mitzvah, which is really based on Chod Shemayim, it's more important that this mitzvah be overlooked and the Kiddush Shem Shemayim should result. It's an amazing thing. A Rosh Hashanah has to be up here. Yeah. The only thing I would say is, insofar as Chazal, what they're saying is that you have people that were tricksters. I mean, they were deceitful. And they were liars, and you took them in and you guaranteed them employment, and that is the worst thing in the world, that you're violating that kind of an injustice. So what should we say in this country that takes us in and gives us parnasa, allows you to work, and it doesn't, no hindrances, I mean, allows every person freedom to be successful? What do you think, how does that look if you rob from such a country? I ask you. What I mean to say is that it's true. They're killing Leum Savas Abanim. That's also unjust. Yeah, but the thing is, you see, the way people look for is they look for following the emotion of corruption. The emotion of corruption is not not in the fact that the name is the Banim. There's no emotion of corruption in that direction. You say it's an oversight. It was a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. But the emotion of corruption is to be selfish with regard. In other words, the selfishness with regard to others is where corruption lies. You see, and the fact that they kill the B'nai, the Banim, so the Yom Tov Banim, that's true. That may not be just, but you can't attribute it to a selfish cause. You see? So therefore, the chil Hashem is in terms of justice. In other words, for the underlying reasons that you always find people are corrupt for. Lo yum sovas abanim doesn't fit into that category. But saving somebody who is in your group does. That's corruption. You see? So that's what the Navi determined. That's really the Chachma Navi. That it's truly, lo yum sovas abanim is also an injustice. But it's not an injustice of corruption. See? It's an injustice. It's wrong. You see? But the main objective of the Torah is to show that in Klal Yisrael there is no injustice of corruption. Justice of corruption is where you try to protect your own. That everybody recognizes as corruption. Say, you shouldn't have done that. But that's not corruption. That's an oversight. Mutav shetiyakar osachas min haTorah. It's better to have us found guilty for an oversight than to be found guilty for underlying corruption. That's really what the Gemara says.
Does it